My daughter is almost 9.
Mm-hmm.
We started watching The Simpsons.
Whoa. How old was she when The Simpsons debuted?
Negative 30 something.
Negative. Wow. Jeez, is it really that old?
They're on the 38th season, I believe, now.
You can't be serious. That is not a real number as pertains to seasons of television.
I am pretty sure that The Simpsons, I think I saw a notification in Disney when I was watching The Simpsons with her, the 33
seasons. That's still too many. I mean, hey, no, you know, nothing against anybody who still enjoys The Simpsons, but that's kind of a lot of Simpsons.
We started at the beginning.
Okay, wow, really?
Well, we didn't start at Tracy Ullman show because they're too hard to find. But yeah, we started at the first episode.
No kidding. The Santa's Little Helper, the racetrack, the Homer spent, the families, the gift money.
Yeah, we had to skip that one because of stuff.
At the racetrack.
There are reasons.
Okay.
We started the second episode. Okay. That's technically then.
What is that one?
Is it Bart the General, maybe? It's one of those early ones. We've been doing this for a while now. So like we're starting midway through the second season at this point, I guess.
Okay. How's she taken to it? Because in my mind, I mean, I love the early Simpsons, but it's probably pretty dated at this point.
Okay. So there are some pretty horny episodes early on, like the one where Marge dates, like goes out with the bowling instructor, when the Homer bowling ball one.
What?
Yeah. Remember, Homer gets Marge. Homer wakes up in the morning, forgets it's Marge's birthday, goes out and buys a bowling ball, has Homer inscribed in the bowling ball.
Okay. Yes.
And then she meets the French bowling instructor.
Mm.
I had to explain some shit there.
I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm going to go and tell you, when I say, hey, kiddo, do you want to watch some Simpsons? The answer always, yes.
This doesn't mean that mommy or daddy or the bowling ball love you any less.
Uh-uh. So it holds up. Like, okay, so there's some stuff. There's some weird sexist stuff that's around what it was like to work in a blue collar job, like a shop job in the 80s and 90s. Like,
okay. Like not self-aware.
It's not funny. It's like Homer looking at a scantily clad woman in a magazine while he's sitting at the lunch counter at the nuclear power plant going ooga. And like, he doesn't have like the wolf eyes, but it's close.
He was always portrayed as pretty boorish though, right?
But there's a, like the later depictions are less that kind of boorish and more, like he transforms from boorish to buffoon.
Okay.
Like yeah, midway through the second season, it seems like.
Yeah. What about like are there just like rotary phones everywhere? Phone booths? Like I'm trying to, why is everything about a phone? But I'm trying to think like CRTs, like what?
Oh yeah. It's all CRTs. Of course. Well,
I know. I'm just trying to think like what your daughter might like be baffled by.
Rad.
Yes.
My daughter had to go to the office at school and call to come home the other day from school because she wasn't feeling well.
Uh-huh.
She'd never used a phone that was attached to a thing on the desk before.
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
she was like, I didn't know how to use it at first. Patty had to show me.
She said what kind of phone it was, like touchtone.
It's like you're off. You remember you had a phone at your desk at work?
Uh-huh.
It's one of those. It's like a corporate PBX phone. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Second episode is Bart the Genius. So, which actually, thinking back now about what the gifted program was like in my school, at least, really spoke to me in a way that she didn't understand, because they don't do that stuff anymore. Like, there's no,
really?
No, there's no like, there's no like, hey, you're like, if you're a smart kid in your classroom, the teacher just gives you more stuff to do in the classroom. They don't send you to a special like prison for the smart, weird kids. But anyway, Simpsons is good. Welcome to Brad and Will Made a Tech Pod. I'm Will.
I am Brad. Hello, Will.
Hello, Brad.
Hi.
So this is going to be a weird episode. I'm going to just say it up front.
Wait, dude, you can't pull back the curtain. What are you doing?
What? They know. The people in the Discord know.
Well, we told them this morning. Yeah, but they're on the inside.
Okay.
They're the VIPs, the insiders. They've got the forbidden knowledge about how this particular sausage is made. Can't tell the world, though.
No, look, this is going to be a perfectly normal episode, okay?
We definitely
nothing
have
nothing strange at all. Everything's going to be fine.
Definitely had this topic in mind for at least 2 weeks and have planned for it.
Look, in reality, this topic has been lingering over my head for the best. Like, I moved into this house in 2007.
Okay.
This is the longest I've lived anywhere that wasn't the house that I grew up in as a child.
That was a, hang on, I'm trying to think, 2008, man, that was a hell of a time to acquire a home.
I bought a house at a real bad time, it turns out.
I guess we won't get into that, but man, that was, boy.
Let me put it this way. My house was worth significantly less than I paid for it right up until the time we sold Whiskey Media. That was about the time I got back out from underwater.
Yeah, I was going to say, they call that underwater. I bet that was a fun time.
It was not great. I was paying a lot for a loan. I had a terrible interest rate, and I didn't know I'd get my money back ever. So, yeah.
Well,
I had
a place to live. That was nice. Just have to have faith, though, right? Like that it will rebound eventually.
You know, you say that, but when you're in a market, literally the only thing that saved us was the house didn't show well. Like the people who had, they didn't pay for staging, which you have to do here, apparently. And it didn't show well. And as a result, I came in and like we were the only people that had made an offer that was real for a long time. And we offered $100,000 under what they were asking. And that saved us. Yeah. Under.
Wow, man.
Yeah, it's a different time in 2000.
I was going to say, yeah, that's what is staging like literally just gussying up the property to make it show well? Dude.
No, staging's like it depends. Here, staging means they take all of your shit out and put it in storage, and they put in shit that people are going to want to that makes people want to buy the house.
I see.
Like aspirational furniture. Yeah. But they also do things like, I feel like they also do things that are really weird, like use slightly smaller beds and stuff like that. So the rooms look bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's a Potemkin house.
It's a house of lies. Exactly. Anyway. So the problem is California houses don't have storage. There's no closets. There's like the minimum number of closets required by law to be counted as a bedroom. Usually.
Wait, that factors into what counts as a bedroom?
Yeah, bedrooms have to have windows and closets.
There's closet California. Legislation in California.
It's zoning, but yeah.
Okay.
So in order for a room to count as a bedroom, it has to have a closet. It has to have a window. It has to have 2 points of egress. I guess it could have two doors, but usually it has a closet and a window. So without that closet, not a bedroom. It's just an extra room that is valueless for your home's valuation. So what ends up happening is you have like a bunch of like, each of the rooms in our house has a closet that's about 3 feet wide, goes from floor to ceiling. It's got stuff to hang. And then there's some shelves above that go all the way back to the back wall and are almost impossible to use.
Okay.
For example, the ones in my office are full of board games, which is great. It's a good place to put board games.
Sure.
It's a little hard to get to.
So I'm guessing the depth of these closets is about the width of a shirt.
The depth of these closets is the width of a hanger plus a little bit.
Yes.
And also because these houses were built, the house that we live in specifically was built in the 50s. Most of the interior walls are single wall construction. So that means instead of it being like a stud and some sheetrock and some more sheetrock, it's just a stud and some sheetrock. And then you can see the stud when you're inside the closet.
Wow.
It's real weird.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. I'd never seen anything like this before when we bought this house. So anyway.
Yeah. What's the upshot of all this is?
The upshot is we've accumulated a lot of crap.
Mm-hmm.
And when my daughter was born, we got rid of a lot. Like we were like, we need to clear every as much out as we can. And we decluttered. Like we got rid of a bunch of stuff. The room that is her room now had bookshelves, like tons of bookshelves in it. And was like we had every book we'd ever bought, I think probably in there, minus some college textbooks.
It was a library.
It's a library. It had the guest futon that haunted me for years until we gave it away. It's my wife's futon when I met her. Awful. And it was Chloe's room. It was the dog's room. She had her crate was in there, and that was where she would go when she wanted a little quiet time. We donated all the books to the San Francisco Public Library, where people all around the Bay Area bought them in used book sales to fund the library, which was great. The Chloe's crate is folded up in the garage because Chloe let loose the mortal coil a couple of years ago. Rip Chloe. And we gave the futon to our cleaning lady, who was very excited about it and did not realize that it was going to be a boondoggle that would haunt her for several years at least. Wait,
is the futon cursed?
I mean, okay, it's a really nice futon. And I like, if you know what a really nice, what that means is it means that the mattress weighs about 1,000,000 pounds and has absolutely no structure whatsoever. It's just really, really dense and hard to move. And like, if you have to wash the cover, one time Chloe peed on the futon because she didn't like the futon either.
Mm.
So we had to take it off, take the cover off. And like that was, look, I have a, I feel like my marriage is pretty healthy. We get along with each other really well. That was one of the main sources of stress. That futon was one of the main sources of stress in our relationship for a long time.
The peeing incident was a low point.
The peeing, having to take the cover off, wash the cover shrank a little bit. So getting it back on was much harder. Like, I'm going to say I was so happy when that fucking futon left the house. It was a very good day for me. So I'm channeling that day.
Okay.
And I want to get rid of some stuff.
All right. I was just going to say, I think futons always seem like a good idea. And then you get one.
Like, I mean, in Gina's defense, when she bought the futon, she was like 18 years old. So okay. Like,
yes,
it wasn't. Yeah,
it's that not, age. There are some uses for a futon anyway.
Well, and it's nice to have like you think, man, it's going to be great to have a bed that converts into a sofa. That's fantastic for a guest room because I'll have a place to go hang out and lay down and read. The problem is it's an awful sofa.
Yes, it's a jack of both trades, master of neither.
Yeah. And it's not a particularly comfortable bed usually.
Right.
Either. So anyway.
Yes. Never buy combo anything. No TV VCRs.
Nope. No combos.
No couch beds.
My dad was adamant that you never buy combo stuff.
No, we never had them, but I don't think it was a philosophy. I don't think my parents thought about it that much. We just luckily avoided them.
Like I wasn't allowed when I wanted a hi-fi, I wasn't allowed to get one of those all-in-one units with like the CD player and the record player and the tape. I had to get the individual components.
That's smart. That's spoken like someone who is used to repairing their things.
Maybe. So yeah, like the bad thing about this is that you, having gotten rid of now of a chair and some monitors, are the best person I know at getting rid of things.
Are you baiting me?
What? I wouldn't do that.
Was that bait?
No. Why would you suggest that? That's a horrible thing to say.
The chair is gone. The chair has been gone for the better part of a month.
Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What about the monitors are gone though too, right? The
monitors.
Oh no.
We talked about this. I want the monitors to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want them to go to waste, and I don't want them to be waste, if that makes sense.
I gave you a three-step plan.
Yeah.
Step one, pick them up. Step two, carry them downstairs. Step three, set them on the sidewalk.
No, I mean, obviously, that's the easy route. That's the coward's way out.
That's what we call electronics waste recycling here.
Did I tell you I was on a walk like a month ago, three weeks ago, coming back about a block away from my house? Somebody was doing exactly that. They were dumping a bunch of stuff on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
One of the things they dumped was an original Pentium, like a full PC.
Wow. Did you grab it?
I almost did. I wish I had. It had the side off so I could look in there and see exactly what it was.
Did it have a heat sink?
No. It was one of the original ceramic package Pentiums.
So it's like a 60 or a 75.
Probably. Maybe a 90. Maybe 100.
I think the 90s had heat sinks, didn't they?
You might be right.
Oh, man, you should have gotten that and put DOS on it. We had X-Wing on that thing.
Right. We had a 75 and it did not have, it was one of these ceramics. So
did they have a monitor too?
No, it was literally a case without the side just laying there on the sidewalk. Like I thought about it. There's no guarantee it would work.
You can just put it back on the sidewalk.
Also, like a
circle
really
of life.
I mean, that's kind of what this episode is about, though. I don't need to bring more things into the house. We're here to talk about taking things out of the house and never seeing them again.
Yeah. So, like, as I'm embarking on this process again, I was thinking about how good it felt. Like, I liked the way I got rid of my books. Like, I loved my books and I loved reading, but realistically, we don't have a place for them. And I didn't want to spend money to store them because really quickly, I would have ended up getting back to the purchase price. And realistically, I bought everything that I wanted to read on digital. That was in that early collection that I wanted to revisit. So like I rebought Neuromancer. I rebought my Stevenson books and the stuff that I tend to revisit. So it felt good to send them off someplace where other people would use them and that that process would benefit the library. And I'm curious from the audience if there are other places like that I can do with like electronic, like I have a bunch of electronic stuff that's of value to someone, I'm sure. But it's like, I don't need it. And like, is there a good home for my cable box? You know, we all have them, right? I have a big Tupperware Rubbermaid bin that's just like, hey man, here are some cables.
If you had said, oh, that kind of cable box. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about like the cable box from your cable company that you get TV through.
No, they yell at you until you bring that back.
Yes, that's
Ask
fair.
Ask me how I know.
That's fair. Oh, cables compress well enough. I think you should. Cables fall into that category for me of I might need these someday. And there's actual value in that as opposed to I might need these someday. And there's no way that's actually going to happen.
Let me introduce you to this. There's a website. It's called Amazon.com.
Yeah.
In about 6 hours, you can get any cable you want delivered to your house.
If you can organize and compress those cables sufficiently, I think there's an argument for having it on hand as opposed to waiting like
a day.
In the most extravagant shipping scenario possible, you might be able to get it same day. But like there's all kinds of ethical considerations around using Amazon that way, let alone that probably 90% of their customer base doesn't even have that option. Like,
okay.
Sometimes being able to reach into the drawer and finding a HDMI to DVI adapter right then and there is superior to waiting until tomorrow.
Okay. So here's my question to you then. Can we make a list of the cables that I need to keep on hand? Like the onesies, like one or two of each, right?
Yeah.
Like HDMI, right? USB A to USB
C.
A to all of the endpoints, right? A to wide A.
I would say I hadn't really ever thought this through before, but I'm starting to realize I might have kind of a Noah's Ark perspective on this whole thing, which is that you should have two of each kind.
What? Really?
Like, let's say.
Okay.
Yes. No, I'm not trying to breed USB cables. I promise.
Okay.
But I would say micro to A, mini to A, USB-C to A, like that, those kinds of configurations. I would say have two of each of those at least.
Well, I mean, so those are still in active use around the house.
Yeah.
Maybe less the mini at this point, but the micro and the C are definitely in regular use. So I feel like that's like that. There's definitely some around because I have a charging stations at three places in the house with like a micro and a lightning cable and a C cable.
Yeah. But don't write off standards that you haven't used in, say, 5 to 10 years, because like, for example, mini USB, like the PlayStation Move controller still use that.
I have a PlayStation Move controller dock that I just set those in when I need to charge them.
OK, well, if you want to get fancy.
I mean, also, when was the last time you used your PlayStation Move controllers, Brad?
The PlayStation VR is still a thing.
Every time I need a Move controller, pretty much I have to replace the battery in one.
That's fair.
That's been my experience with the Move controllers. But I do keep minis because my Wii U Pro controller uses the mini.
Yeah.
Mini, micro,
whatever. So I have three drawers. This would play better if we had video, but I've got an audio drawer, a video/USB drawer, and a power drawer. That's my cable situation.
I have the same drawer situation.
No.
Well, I have one for XLR cables too.
Great minds, I suppose. Yeah. Wait, those go in the audio drawer.
Well, they're too big for the audio drawer.
Okay.
They're long. So that's like fair. I have two 20-foot XLR cables that just like lay flat and they take up a whole drawer.
Cables, I don't know. Cables almost feel like a separate conversation here because they do have so much utility when you end up in one of those weird situations where you need them.
But like, do you have RCA cables still?
I've got a couple sets, yeah.
Okay, what about S-Video?
Just in case. Yeah, I've got a couple S-Video cables.
You got a SCART?
No. Well, SCART was never a big thing here, so.
You got components? I mean, they're just RCA cables.
Yes.
I know,
but, okay. Yeah, but when you're talking about consoles, those were mostly proprietary.
What about a VGA to BNC component?
I absolutely do.
Yeah, I have one of those, too. Yes. I'm probably not going to get rid of because they're really hard to get.
Those are like genuinely like probably kind of expensive and rare. I have the CRT monitor that used BNC connectors is in my parents' basement, and one day I will reunite that cable and that monitor.
I have a 19-inch CRT in my garage.
It's a good one.
Not sure what I should do about that.
Yeah.
I feel like I should not get rid of that. That feels like a thing I'm going to want the moment I get rid of it.
If you have any capacity to hang on to a CRT at this point, I would say do it. Yeah. I mean, that speaks to my hobbyist's proclivities, I guess, because I'm into old games a lot, but we talked to Mike Micah about it last year, right? Like, CRTs are not getting more common. Like, there's a finite supply of CRTs in the world.
Yeah. One day they'll all be gone.
Granted, like, probably not that hard to get your hands on other CRTs. Like, there's still plenty of them just being given away.
But it's true.
But if you've got a decent one, what is it?
It's like a Sharp. It's nothing great, but it's fine. It's like a Sharp 19-inch TV.
Oh, it's like TV?
SDTV.
Like, what era are we talking?
Mid-90s.
Okay. That's probably a good Mr. Console. I mean, good Mr. TV.
It is the TV on which I played SNES and NES games.
I'd hang on to that for
in
now.
In college.
19 inch is pretty small.
You say that and you think 19 inch is pretty small, but it takes up a shelf. It's like, it goes deep. Maybe you're not the right person to talk about how to get rid of stuff, Brad. That's what I'm beginning to consider.
I've gotten rid of a lot of stuff.
So what do you do with paperwork? Do you keep tax stuff? Like, do you have a file cabinet someplace? Do you keep that stuff?
I have kind of like a file box, like a big plastic file box. You can kind of hang folders inside of it.
Yeah. Is it all nicely organized? Or you just kind of chuck stuff in there when you have a keeper?
Like, it's got probably 10, 15 years worth of paperwork in it. But like, you know, at a certain point, like, I don't have paper tax returns anymore, right? Like, I file all that stuff digitally. So
yeah. So you have my PDF someplace.
I have PDFs from the last several years of tax returns. Also, like, what's the IRS recommendation? I think
four
it's like
years,
seven.
I think.
Oh, is it
four or five?
Seven, well, something like that.
For businesses, it's four, but I don't know what the personal recommendation is.
You can probably lose most of that stuff.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking about it, right? Like, I mean, I need to keep the car titles probably. That seems important.
Yes. Car titles, like house deed, I assume.
Insurance. Well, yeah. No, I don't have the house deed. You have a mortgage. Yeah.
Oh, does deed not live with you?
I don't think you get the deed.
Until you.
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. Interesting.
These are things I should probably know.
What do I know? Trust me. I don't know jack about buying a house. And perhaps never will based on the way things are going.
Insurance stuff we keep. That's in the fire safe.
Okay.
But then, like, I also have a bunch of weird stuff. Like, I have an old camcorder. It's actually not that old. I bought it when I started streaming because I wanted something better than a webcam. And it was before we had like fancy streaming webcams and mirrorless cameras were still too expensive. So it's like a pretty good 1080p handy cam. I'll give that to my daughter. Maybe she let her make skate movies or something. I mean,
you probably have enough old iPhones around that are better than that camcorder for her to use, right?
No, this is another thing I realized a few years ago is that I always think, oh, I'm going to sell this iPhone. And then I start looking at Craigslist and like the mortal peril that comes with selling a phone on Craigslist is such.
Oh God, I would not even want to.
Well, and then I did the math on the iPhone upgrade bullshit and it ends up being basically you end up even because if you sell an old phone for $500 or $600, a year old phone, then that's what they give you in the trade in every year. And you might as well just do the upgrade program and pay it off, you know, pay the thing. Anyway,
cell phones are a bad one.
Oh, wow. That's a fat stack. Is that a Windows phone in there?
Five. Yes, that is. That's the Windows phone you gave me.
Oh, yeah. And there's an iPhone 3GS in there, or 3G in there, it looked like.
Yes, there's a 3G.
Yeah, I like the plastic back on that one.
That Windows phone is on its last attempt for me to put the security code into it before it wipes itself.
Well, why would
I don't
what
remember
happens if it wipes itself?
I mean, I had a lot of stuff on there. I wouldn't have minded getting in there and seeing what was on there before I got rid of it retired it.
Completely. I'm not going to ask that question. I was going to ask if you don't use the same passcode on everything, but that tells something important about what passcodes I use.
That one. Yeah, maybe the less said about that, the better. That one I had set to a shape, like a geometric pattern, not a number. So.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep, that'll get you.
That data is probably gone. Whatever's on that phone is probably lost to time.
You know what, though? If you wait a few more years, probably somebody like the GPU power is increasing at such a rate that they'll probably just be able to decrypt it in like 10 years.
Yeah. You know, I cracked the password on an old zip file a year or two ago. Yeah. It turned out to be like shockingly easy.
Yeah, it turns out.
I don't remember the name of the utility I used to do it, and there was some stuff involved with generating a dictionary, I think, off of it or something like that.
Was it like a brute force thing, or did it just break the encryption?
Maybe cracked is not the right word. I think it was a brute force.
Okay. That's cool.
It was like, I mean, granted, this is a zip file from like 2001 or something, but it was like shockingly fast how quickly it came up with the password. It may have hashed it from something. Maybe it wasn't a brute force. I actually can't remember.
I went through and pulled all of my media, like all of my physical discs.
Yeah.
And I got rid of all the jewel cases and put them all in sleeves because that compresses. Like, you can turn five boxes of Xbox games into like, you know, a briefcase size thing. If you just throw out all the manuals and the boxes, sorry, video game preservationists.
Consolidating media, I think, is the first step. Digitize everything done. You can.
Yeah.
You know, throw out packaging. Like, do you have any video with that camcorder that you care about, or is it just the camcorder itself?
I don't think I've ever recorded anything on that camcorder.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It was just hooked up to a capture card for like 2 years.
I see. Okay. Because I was going to say, like, stuff like, I think I've mentioned this before, stuff like family and home movies, like old media, the personal media on stuff like that. Prime candidate for digitizing and backing up somewhere.
Yeah, I did that. I did that a few years ago. I borrowed a camcorder from a friend and hooked up to the capture card and just ripped everything that was on all like old tapes, except I haven't been able to find a VHS-C to VHS adapter that was a price I was willing to pay.
What is VHS-C?
It's like a half size. It's like a compact VHS tape that was for palm size camcorders in the mid to late 90s.
Wow, I've never heard of that. That's not as different for mini DV.
It's the same size. It's the same thickness tape as VHS, but the cartridge is a lot smaller and holds less tape.
Interesting. I've never heard of such a thing.
Yeah. And it's mechanically compatible with VHS. If you put, you put the tape in like a little, like you have a VHS tape looking thing that has a door in it. You jam the tape in there.
I see that. That's.
And then, yeah.
Weird. It's like a VHS tape with a trap door in it.
Yeah. I think Gina's in my trip to Chichen Itza is on that tape. And, I'm sure it's a lot of dark. It was the first time I'd ever had a camcorder. And I'm sure there's a lot of like climbing up dark, moist stairways inside pyramids in the dark. Trying not to wipe out like that place was really, it wasn't OSHA compatible.
No,
those staircases are really scary.
What era is that from?
Like mid 90s.
No. I mean.
Oh, Chichen Itza?
The structures.
The Mayans built it, I think.
Okay.
Yes. So, you know, pre-Western trips to, yeah. And as I recall, they built a pyramid on top of a pyramid. So like when we went up the tunnel inside the one pyramid, we were actually walking up the outside of an older pyramid that had been built underneath.
That was fascinating. That had been built on top of
a
previous civilization, or?
I think it was just the Mayans. I don't know. Okay. I feel like a lot of that stuff was unclear the last time I looked at it. I don't know.
Sure. Well, that's a piece of your history. You don't want to lose that.
Yeah, no, I'd like to get that. I've saved that tape.
Yeah. Digitize everything you can and then burn the media.
Really? Burn it? I feel like it would make fumes.
Not literally.
Oh.
Dispose of it in an ethical, environmentally friendly manner.
Okay. So then what do you do about bigger stuff? Like, what do you do about, I have a bunch of Lego.
Yeah. You have that Saturn V that I'm very jealous of.
Saturn V is up above the living room TV right now. Like that one's nice, assembled. But like our thing on Lego is we'll build it and then we'll leave it up for a little bit where we look at it and kind of like, if the kiddo wants to play with it, she can. Otherwise, we just like after like a month, we'll dust it off and take it apart, put it back in the box and put it in a Ziploc and put it in a box.
I mean, I don't know. Ask yourself, like, what is the practical use of keeping that stuff around? If you're not going to have it out on display, if you don't think you're going to build it again.
No, we build it again. We go back and we revisit the builds. Yeah. Okay.
As not a Lego person, I didn't realize. I guess that's kind of the point, right? Like the.
Yeah, it's not
the destination. It's the building.
Yeah. Like it's so like for me, I like to do Lego for me is like doing a puzzle on a Saturday afternoon. Right. Like it's a thing you can sit down with a group of people and people can kind of drop in and drop out and work together or not, whatever. And then at the end you have a cool thing you can kind of noodle around with for a little bit before you
get back in the box. I am super not acquainted with modern Lego. And so when I saw that Saturn V over your TV, I was like, I mean, it doesn't look like a toy. It looks like a nice piece of decor kind of like I was shocked how much it just looks like a model of the Saturn V and not like a chintzy, like toy Lego version of it.
Oh dude, I think would really love like sitting down at the kitchen table and just putting some stuff together. Like it is very satisfying here's a thing that I can do with like when I didn't get this until Norm and Gary years ago, like when we were still in the basement at Whiskey, we're like, hey, you should come over. We're going to build Lego at Gary's house. And I was like, I'm fucking 35 years old. I don't need to build Lego.
Oh boy.
I went over cause you know, it's fun social activity. And it was awesome. Like it was just, it's just like it, your brain turns off for a little bit and it gives you something to do with your hands. The only problem with it is the Lego is kind of expensive, but
yeah,
like,
yes, it sure is. I was going to get to that, but I'm sure I could see it. That's kind of one of those flow state activities like painting or something, right? Where you just kind of like, your mind kind of relaxes and you just get lost in the thing.
Yeah. You just keep turning pages and you keep building, or you build something off the book, whatever floats your boat.
Turned that into content eventually, didn't you?
Oh, look, everything's turned into content eventually, Brad.
Yes, I know. We've been over that. Did you ever, is it possible to do any of those builds without the instructions? Do people like try to fly blind and figure it out? Or is it that basically not feasible?
Well, okay. People definitely build stuff without the instructions. to recreate one of the existing projects. Like there are a few things that I've built enough times. Probably like I could probably, if you put me in front of a bag of TIE fighter parts, I could probably put the TIE fighter together. If it was one I'd done before, it would take me a while to figure out and it would probably be wrong. Like, it, you know, air quoting wrong, but like it would not be following the manual, but like, it's not that hard.
Okay.
Some of them are really hard. Like the R2-D2 one, the one that's like the foot and a half tall sculpture of R2-D2 is, would be impossible because it's all white bricks. And like, I'd have, like, yeah, that one would be challenging for me.
Yeah. Did you see, I'm sorry.
I was gonna say, when we did Lego, we had a couple of people who are actually like Lego builders come in over the years, like that work in Denmark at Tested. And one of those guys could like assemble like the little one pouch kits that are often like freebies at the, when you buy enough at the store or whatever, he could put those together while they were in the bag.
What?
Yeah. So wow. This is a thing that they do at Lego for fun, is they'll do races where they take a bag that's unopened and they assemble the kit while it's inside the bag.
Huh?
Yeah.
I bet working at Lego is all right.
I've never met anybody who worked there that was not happy working there.
I could definitely see that.
It could be that they kill them. If they're unhappy.
Lego has a dark side.
Well, I mean, the Danes have a rich history of blood sport. So,
Yeah. Speaking of expensive Lego, before we move on from Lego, did you see the announcement of the Lego Titanic set? Most elaborate and expensive Lego set to date.
Can you build it both ways?
What?
Can you build it like it's still assembled and then you can do a post iceberg where the two pieces are broken in half and so Jack and Rose are hanging on the side?
I feel like that would maybe be a little crass, but that does, not in that exact way, but it does separate in the middle. So you can see a cross section of like the boiler rooms and stuff like that.
That's cool.
I don't think they quite meant it in the same way, but it kind of does look like that when it's pulled apart.
I want the Nintendo Super Mario kit that came out last year.
Yeah.
Is super cool.
Do they make all that stuff in like a limited run fashion? Like, cause you kind of have to get it and then it's gone.
It's complicated. So some stuff that is really popular stays around forever ish. Like for example, the Lego Death Star playset, which was one of the bigger Star Wars Lego sets. It's the one that I built when Norm and I did the race at Tested like 10 years ago. And that one stayed on sale for a really long time, like multiple years. Most stuff comes in and goes after like 3 to 6 months.
Oh, wow.
Some stuff stays longer. Some stuff is around forever. But yeah, they cycle the product line pretty constant. Like that. My guess is like the Simpsons stuff, when they did the Simpsons stuff a few years ago, that lasted for like a year or two. And then those all went away. Some of it's based on licensing. Some of it is it seems like it's just because it like, you know, like. The one thing is like the Minecraft generic kit, the one that's not like build the ghast or whatever, like the ones that's just here's a bunch of bricks that are Minecrafty bricks you can use to build whatever you want. That one stays around forever. Like the all white bricks architecture set stayed around for a really long time. The ones that are specific models tend to come and go.
Okay.
So if you want something, usually you have to buy it within like 6 or 8 months.
I see.
Yeah.
This Lego Titanic set, $630.
How many pieces is it? Like 4,000?
9,090.
Jesus,
that's why it made news. I mean, besides the price, but it made news because it was the highest piece count for one of their sets to date.
So, like the way you tell if a Lego set is a good deal, we're having a Lego interlude here in the middle.
I read the comments on a news story about that, and a bunch of people were complaining about the price, and the defenders of this thing were literally citing the price per piece as being in line with their other sets.
Yeah, so if it's a licensed set, you're looking at 10 or 15 cents per brick. If you are anything below 10, I think is pretty good.
Okay, I think this was like 7 cents a piece, something like that. I haven't done the math here.
If they're licensed, like seven to 10 cents is pretty good.
I actually don't know if this is licensed.
It's not. There's nothing. Who would you license it with? It's not like they're going to pay James Cameron for that.
No, I mean, there is an RMS Titanic Incorporated.
Yeah,
but I don't think they have any claim to the design.
Yeah, no, that is.
I can tell you the shipbuilders. I've been on a weird Titanic kick lately. I will just throw that out there. I go down weird history rabbit holes here and there. Who was the shipbuilder? Wolf and somebody. But they wouldn't own the design either, would they?
No.
Harland and Wolf. Harland and Wolf was the shipbuilder. Anyway, whatever. We don't.
Yeah, I don't think any. Like, so for example, the Millennium Falcon, the Lego Millennium Falcon, which is around the same size, is I think $800. The super duper big.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's but that's like the size of your like literally when people build those, they put it under it. Like people have I've seen on the Lego subreddit, there are a ton of people who build like coffee tables around that so that like they have like a glass top coffee table that's square and then the Lego Millennium Falcon is sealed up underneath it.
Wow.
The big challenge with displaying Lego is that it collects dust in a way that makes it really hard to clean.
I could see that. You need to like blow that dust off. But I don't know. I think you've convinced me, though. It's like if you intend to rebuild them periodically, if they are nice for display and crucially, if they are limited edition and hard to get, I think you should hang on to them.
Yeah, like, so it's funny, Gina and I a few months ago went back when we were cleaning out the garage and we're like, what is all this stuff worth? And literally it all has appreciated because like we have some that are like they have different product lines. And some of them are really fucking hard to get now, apparently.
You should absolutely hang on to all that Lego stuff.
Yeah, I just let the kiddo play with it. So like she's got the Simpsons house set up on her Lego table right now. And I'm going to have, it's going to take me months to find all the pieces for that, but that's fine. Okay. So Lego stays. So far we've gotten rid of,
nothing.
Let's see, two lightning cables.
That's kind of the problem with this stuff. Oh, that's how cleaning goes, right? You have to spend the first 2 days just going through everything and remembering stuff and playing with it and then putting it back and going like, maybe I'll keep that.
Well, like, so here's the thing I had to do some soldering work the other day and here on my desk is, This I've had for like it's dusty and gross, but look, this is why Jeff went through his garage earlier this year. So it's an assorted heat shrink tubing kit. It's got 127 pieces. I don't think I could make this smaller. And like the problem is this is pretty much the smallest amount of heat shrink tubing you can buy that's going to be useful.
Yes, I went through the same thing when I needed some nylon standoffs for my mister.
Yeah, you got to get a shitload of them.
And I needed, I think, eight.
Yeah, that's
eight of them.
Yeah. How many did you have to get? Like 128?
So I have something like 292 more standoffs in a box because that's the least you can get.
Yeah. I don't know what to do. I need a bigger house. Maybe I should just move.
Yeah. Could just go find a gigantic, go find a McMansion somewhere. And you can have an entire room for cables and large quantity parts boxes.
Somebody posted their gaming basement in Indiana someplace in one of the Discords I'm in yesterday.
Was it bigger than your house?
Oh god, it was like they had two TVs. They had like a regular normal human LCD TV and then next to it they had like a 20 inch CRT with all their old consoles hooked up to it.
Man,
and I was like, man, well, that looks so cool.
You realize that illustrates the single biggest problem with California housing.
No basement. I mean, I've thought about digging a basement
because wait, can you do that?
I mean, you can do whatever you want.
Well, under an existing house, that seems dodgy.
Well, you have to be careful.
Huh?
Like you dig out around in the center.
Okay.
And you bring the dirt out. I don't know what you do with the dirt. That's a phase two problem.
Somebody else's problem.
Well, I mean, I think maybe you do the great escape thing and you put it in your pants pockets and just spray around the yard as you're walking around during your yard time every day. And then I think you have to dig out under the, so I have a friend who did this in Virginia and what he did was he dug down and then he poured, when he got to the bottom, he dug out the dirt 5 feet down, 6 feet down under the foundation and poured a concrete footer around where the foundation was going to go and then built up cinder blocks, to support the foundation. Now, he doesn't live in an earthquake zone.
Okay. Yeah. So I was going to say, also, I just want to interject that this sounds like a Minecraft problem. This sounds like something you would do in Minecraft.
Oh, this is a Minecraftian solution to a real world problem.
Yes.
Look, the ultimate problem with his basement is that it's only good for people who are under like 6 feet. Mm. Right. And even then it's a little claustrophobic.
Yikes.
But a lot of storage.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Like the basement is the natural resting place of everything we are talking about here.
Well, but the problem with the basement, though, is if it rains, it floods. It can flood. Ask Vinny. And I don't want that. I don't know. Maybe I should just get rid of everything.
I'm not sure how that. Well, my parents have a basement and it never flooded for as long as I lived there. And it rained all the time. And I don't know.
But they live on a mountain, don't they?
That's yes. They are on the side of a hill.
Yeah. We don't have that benefit here.
No.
I don't know. I don't have any good solutions.
You don't really want a basement in earthquake prone, right?
I mean, I assume I don't.
Isn't that the whole reason that they don't dig them here?
You know, I used to think that, but I don't know if they don't dig them because they just never dug them.
Mm.
Or if they don't dig them because it's a bad idea, or because it floods in the, when it, like we get so much rain, when it rains here, it rains a lot. Like that's the, my guess is that that's the problem.
Yeah. Also you're at sea level, right?
We're like 20 feet up.
It'll be fine.
Probably fine.
Where's that water? I can
dig a two layer basement.
Where's the water table? I don't know.
Yeah. It's probably okay. I don't know. This episode's kind of a rambling mess. I apologize.
Yes. We came to this one a little late this week. Apologies if this is terrible.
Yeah, we this week was really busy at work for, I think, both of us. So,
all right.
Are you going to get rid of the monitors? Are you going to just keep them? Like, maybe you should do an art installation, put them up behind you on so that when you're on camera, you have like, you know, you can put stuff there.
I mean, the primary reasons I still have them are A, I don't want to dispose of them in an irresponsible way. B, I would like for them to go to use, you know, in a new home. I would like for somebody to find something to do with them as opposed to just like e-wasting them.
I saw some on the side of the road the other day that were just like the ones you have.
But the third order reason that I still have them is like, they're kind of a piece of TechPod lore at this point. Like,
no,
I feel like I should. What if somebody on the Discord wants them? What if like, should I then photograph them and make a t-shirt? Like, what if there's a use?
Okay, you should photograph them and make a t-shirt. That is a,
I don't know.
In terms of the first TechPod merch, that's pretty good.
So these are the kinds of hangups I have about getting rid of things.
We could also just pay somebody to draw them and on the chair, like put them on the chair.
That's the thing. I should have combined the monitors and the chair. Somebody dug up I knew this was out there. Somebody dug up a video from GameSpot on the Discord from 2003 when I moved here. It was like, we used to do little videos about the editors and, you know, just sort of like behind the scenes type stuff. And this one was, I was like 3 weeks into the job. And so somebody from GameSpot Live went to my house and recorded in my bedroom because I didn't have any furniture yet. All I had was a TV and a sleeping bag and my consoles, basically. And I was just like sitting on the floor reviewing video games and sleeping in a sleeping bag because I hadn't gotten furniture yet. But I had bought an office chair. And somebody posted a screenshot from that video in the Discord saying, "Is this the chair?" And I was like, "It sure is."
So
that was, yes. I think you say 18-year-old office chair and the number just rolls off people's backs. But when they see a video of it from when you were 23,
I will remember.
Like, yes, yes.
So the reason this is funny to me, especially, is because when I was working at Future, that happened so many fucking times that somebody would move to work at a job at one of the gaming magazines. And the schedules on those magazines were so bad. And we paid people so badly that like they would move out and they'd get here and be like, shit, everything's really expensive. I can't afford furniture. Yep. And you'd have to like wait until you found some good cheap furniture on like yard sales and stuff, garage sales and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I won't name names, but I know of at least three other editors at who were Future people who had that same exact, like they'd rent a bedroom in somebody else's apartment. They'd get there. And then they wouldn't have a bed for a year, or their bed would just be a mattress on the ground or an air mattress or something.
Because that's the tech press. Like, these video games aren't going to review themselves. Like, nope. These things have got to get played.
Yep. We would like, I had, when I moved out here, I stayed with a friend for the first month and a half or 2 months. And it was right when, it's funny, it was when Diablo 2 came out. And I slept on the most uncomfortable pullout couch I've ever seen in my life. Like, it was one of those ones where you didn't know if it was better to sleep with it on the couch mode or fold it out, because both were equally uncomfortable. And basically I would just stay up until like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning playing Diablo 2 all night. And then I would go sleep for 3 or 4 hours and go to work. And then I'd come back home and play Diablo 2. Well, I'd go to bars at night and then I'd come back from that and play Diablo 2. It's not a great way to live.
No, that sounds very familiar. There's some legendary stories around the games press from back then of like six editors from different outlets all crammed into the same like two bedroom apartment or whatever.
There were a couple of apartments. So Gina moved out shortly after I moved. She moved out like a month and a half or 2 months after I moved out. But there were a bunch of people that lived together before anybody got married. And it was It was, I mean, like Norm Manor was the classy, nice version of that.
Yeah.
But like the, yeah, there were some real scungy apartments. Ugh. Anyway.
So gross. You've just introduced me to a new word. I've never heard scungy before.
Oh, you never heard scungy?
Ugh.
Oh, you're That's, welcome.
That is a word that sounds exactly like what it means.
I don't even know if it's a word, but yeah, I use it. I like it.
What is now? That's such is our power. I don't know. Like, I've been consolidating over the last several years and getting rid of stuff. And generally my rubric is, if it's useful, like cables, like I said, just condense it down as much as you can.
Okay.
To what is reasonable. And like I said, I've got each of those categories of cables are in a drawer at this point, which I feel is pretty.
What's your drawer set? Do you have sensible. Like, I bought some cheap IKEA drawers a few years ago that have been pretty good.
Yeah, they're kind of like, these are kind of like Rubbermaid drawers. Mm. They're actually sort of free floating. I pulled them out of an old Rubbermaid set. Like, okay. I tossed the frame years ago, but I've got the, and they fit into like a little IKEA shelving thing I've got, but so they're pretty deep. Like, they're pretty big drawers, but like, they're out of sight. They're in a closet. And beyond that, like, everything I keep other than like what's functional is what's sentimental. Right.
Yeah.
So like, I've got my old games and consoles. I've got like memorabilia from different games press jobs. That's about it. I don't know. What else you got?
I mean,
you're looking off the side of the camera in a pensive way.
Well, like, so like, I have a bunch of weird stuff that people made over the years that I love.
Like homemade stuff is a no brainer. Like anything that's irreplaceable, like that definitely falls into the sentimental category for me. Like if it's handmade, if it's one of a kind, if it's like rare or something that can't be replaced easily, like you've got approval to hang on to that.
The Lego competitors, do you remember the Blockheads?
Vaguely.
The Cal BuzzClick made that, the awesome square isometric illustrations for Norm and I.
Yeah, I've still got one of those t-shirts.
Yeah, we used to use them. We ended up using when even it was the one piece of branding that went after we switched over to working with Adam and Jamie because they liked them too. And then like the BrickLink people made Norm and I those. Like, somebody there worked there was a fan, and they sent us like made with their bricks, Norm and me heads.
Yeah, dude. Like, if somebody makes you in a Lego-esque capacity, you have to keep that. Like, why how can you possibly consider getting rid of something like that?
No. I wouldn't get rid of that. I have, I mean, I don't know. It's just a lot of stuff. You accumulate stuff. Try not to accumulate stuff. That's my advice. It's much easier to not accumulate stuff than it is to get rid of it once you have it.
Everybody says that, but I don't think I know anybody who practices it.
Well, that's because I think everybody that we know personally are probably hoarders.
It's a self.
Brad, here's a bag. Man, I think I should just do the thing that Jeff did. Here's a bag with 4-inch cable ties. They're 100 millimeters, 4 inches each. There's 1,000 of them in here. Why did I buy 1,000 cable ties? That's way too many cable ties.
Again, that's probably the fewest you could get.
It might have been. It was probably a good deal.
It was probably $3.99. Hey, look, you know what? Listen, okay. When it's safe for me to enter your house.
Yeah.
If you want to get out all of your stuff like that. I'll do you a favor.
You'll help. I'll take it.
I'll take some stuff off your hands. Okay. I don't have any cable ties.
I mean, look, we could split up the cable ties.
That's a good happy point.
To do that.
Okay. I'll bring my nylon standoffs over. You get your cable ties. I'm out.
Good. I don't need the nylon standoffs. I can laser cut those out of acrylic. It's no problem. Okay. I think I don't know. I have anything else to add to this thing that we've done here today.
Does this qualify as a podcast episode?
I mean, I feel like it does.
Okay.
We're going to do the thing at the end where we thank our patrons.
Okay. That's yeah. Okay. Just
thank you.
I'm sorry. No, I'm just going to summarize, just digitize everything you can.
Yeah. Digitizing.
Hoarding data. Pretty awesome. Data doesn't take up any space.
Doesn't take up much space.
Hard drives take up space, but we talked about M disk recently. I have been staring at tape backup as well. We should probably not get into that right now.
Oh God. Tape backup is look, one of my first jobs was dealing with a giant tape backup robot.
Yeah.
That held a bazillion tapes and had a robot arm and two tape readers in it.
It's got those little robot arms.
Oh man.
Can't you just get like a small, like single tape thing that you can just swap them in and out?
That's how it starts.
Don't they make them in like optical drive bay, like 5 1/4 drive bay format?
Yeah, I don't have a 5 1/4 drive bay anymore.
I have one, but there's already a Blu-ray drive in it.
Yeah, but anyway, the point is, ripping Blu-rays was great.
Yes. Or data, not objects, if you can.
Yeah, I need more hard drives because that's phase that is coming due soon. The NAS is almost full again, which is bad. Yeah,
that's been.
I don't know.
I think you're trying to end this episode, but I'll just say hard drive pricing has been a topic of frequent discussion on the Discord lately. We're not in the best spot on that stuff.
No, it's bad. I'm hoping Black Friday is kind to us.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive. If you're willing to shuck, there have been some decent deals on shuckable drives recently. But
well, I mean, the thing is, I think 6 or 8 terabyte drives in right now, and I don't have that many SATA slots. Mm. So like I realistically need like 12 or 14 gig drives, and it's going to make a impact.
Yeah.
So anyway,
time to get that host bus adapter.
I'm thinking about this is people are going to be really upset when I say this, but I'm thinking about pulling board games out of boxes and putting them in bags.
Ooh, boy. And then like
filing them.
I have zero opinion on that because I'm not a big board game player, but I bet I could see some people getting very upset about that.
I think people are. I did that with all like with Dominion cards. I did that years ago, and we put them in like card files, like collectible card holder thingies. So like we were able to fit like 3 or 4 Dominion boxes in the space that one normally fit in. Yeah, that felt good. But the other board games, it's more complicated. I don't know. Maybe the solution is just to move into a bigger house. I think that's probably the right way to do
this. Just run screaming from your home and let somebody else deal with it.
Just be like, hey, movers.
Just walk out the door and into the wilderness and leave it all behind.
I have the beard for that. I'm ready to go.
It's true.
But anyway, yeah, this is the part of the show where we thank the patrons.
thank you, patrons. Thank you, patrons, for putting up with whatever this has been.
We have a plan for next week. It was just this week we didn't have a plan. I'm sorry.
Yeah. We're behind on planning. We have been better in the past about planning out episodes than we are currently, let's say.
Yes. But this week, we would like to thank, as always, all of our patrons, everybody who is active in the Discord, everybody who just chucks in a couple bucks a month, and everybody who lets people know about the show on the Twitter or whatever your social network of choice is. I haven't seen any TechPod related TikToks yet. I'm a little disappointed in that.
I don't spend much or, let's say, any time on TikTok, and I don't know if that's good or bad.
Dude, I love TikTok.
Yeah.
We not talked about this? TikTok's awesome.
A bit. I don't have anything against it. I may have aged out.
No. Here's the thing. The thing about TikTok, well, we'll be back to thanking patrons in a minute, so don't go anywhere. The thing about TikTok is it is the social network for when you want to feel like Twitter is the social network for when you want to feel bad about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you want to get real into climate change and like fascism in America, Twitter is perfect for that.
Oh, yeah.
But if you want to spend some time like watching puppies do cute stuff and seeing people dance and have fun and like enjoy life, TikTok's there for you.
Huh. Okay. You're making a pretty strong argument here.
And here's okay. So there's a dark side to TikTok, which is if you start watching bad stuff on TikTok, like TikTok doesn't care about likes or any of that stuff. TikTok cares how many times you watch stuff.
Yeah.
And if you start watching stuff that's a bummer, you're going to get a lot more bummers. Well, so you got to avoid bummers really, really strong on TikTok.
I mean, the algorithms will get you no matter what platform you go to.
Well, the algorithm on TikTok is crafty. Like yeah. The other algorithms are chuckleheads compared to TikTok's algorithm. But yeah, TikTok. I love TikTok. Big fan. Big fan of their work. Also big fan of our patrons, especially the executive producer tier patrons. Including Paddle Creek Games, the makers of Fractured Veil, Andrew Slosky, the Bunny Fiend, Jacob Chappell, Joel Kowska, Twinkle Twinkie, David Allen, and James Kamick. Thank you all so much for your support.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Sorry again.
I don't think we have to apologize, but maybe.
Sorry.
I don't know. Wait, I feel I like should everybody
did it again.
I mean, somebody suggested this in the Discord when we were talking about what we could talk about today. And it's a thing that I constantly struggle with. And maybe I should just stop worrying about it and accept, buy a bunch of shelves and just like turn the back half of my office into like ordered road shelving, like in the end of Indiana Jones, where I just pile shit up in an organized fashion instead of a disorganized fashion. And then I'll feel better about it. I don't know. Okay, I would love to hear suggestions.
As long as everything is arranged in right angles, you'll feel fine. It'll look great.
I kind of want hanging shelves like in that Animal Crossing video yesterday. But I feel like then I'm drilling holes in ceilings and stuff, and I don't want to get into that.
Sounds like based on the construction of your house, maybe drilling things into the wall is not the best idea.
The walls are bad. Ceiling's strong. Ceiling's real good. We'll see y'all next week. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.